Good morning, and welcome to the Redeemer's Refuge radio broadcast, brought to you by Redeemer Lutheran Church, One Deer Walk Lane in Charleston, a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Redeemer Lutheran Church, help, hope, and home in the body of Christ. The psalmist writes, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. This speaks to the hope God gives us amid the struggles of life. When life storms blow around us, our Redeemer, Jesus, gives refuge in the mighty fortress of our God. We pray this broadcast will remind you of that beautiful truth today.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord, our King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love, you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Teach us to pray, the disciples asked. Jesus replied, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. But sometimes you and I, we've acted as though the Lord's Prayer is the only prayer the New Testament teaches. Not so. This morning, Paul interrupts his train of thought to offer a powerful prayer for those who face faith-shaking circumstances. For the Ephesians, it was uncertainty about what would happen to them now that Paul was in prison. Would they be arrested too? Should they return to their old but safe religions? Paul prays, as he does, to calm their worries and fears. So how can you pray when members of your family, friends, or coworkers face faith-threatening situations? Well, let's see how Paul teaches us to pray for those whose troubles may weaken their faith in Christ. When one hears that a person is going through difficult times today, don't you often hear people say, oh, you're in our thoughts? Or even on social media, like Facebook, where you have, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday, send them your good thoughts. And so maybe you've even said that yourself. But really, what can our thoughts accomplish? They have no power to change anything. We Christians can do better. We can pray, as Paul did in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. May you be filled with the fullness of God. That's the climax to Paul's prayer. But it summarizes all that he asks beforehand. What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? To pray that someone would be filled with the fullness of God is to ask that Jesus Christ dwell in that person. Faith is the only means by which Christ dwells in anyone's heart. So Paul is really praying their faith will remain strong despite his imprisonment. The only way that faith remains strong is by God empowering it through the Spirit. And the only way that the Spirit empowers faint hearts is through the gospel, whether it be read, heard, or received in the supper. The Spirit never works apart from the Word. Yet, when some hearts are troubled and shaken, they turn away from hearing or reading the very word that could strengthen them. And if that absence continues, they'll be running on empty. Now, if you see fellow members isolating themselves, you can offer more than, "Oh, I'll be thinking of you." Say, "I'm praying that God will fill you with all the fullness of Christ." Nothing is as powerful as asking the Father to strengthen the anxious with His Spirit so that Christ would dwell in them. For the indwelling Christ brings peace, forgiveness, life, and salvation to those who are troubled by any fear or anxiety. And Paul's prayer goes further. He also asks that his hearers may have the power to grasp the magnitude of Christ's love for them, saying, "That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth." Now, often when we face difficult times, the question comes, why did God let this happen to me? And we all start out very limited in our grasp of God's love for us. Like that little tune from Sunday school, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Now, the wise prayer asks God to give the anxious person the power to see beyond his or her condition to the magnitude of Christ's love for them. I mean, why would Paul pray that God would give his hearers the power to grasp the enormity of God's love? Well, so they won't lose heart. The devil loves nothing more than to isolate us, to make us believe we are insignificant, that God has better things to do, that he has better people to look after. He wants each of us to think, "Who am I among the billions of people that God should help me?" I mean, after all, the statistics say North American Christianity is shrinking in numbers and in influence. And that can make us feel insignificant. Just as the Christians in Ephesus knew that they were an insignificant number of people too. Thanks to the Hubble telescope, our understanding of the size of the universe continues to grow. But that can make us feel even more insignificant. Our planet seems like a mere speck of dust. Yet this is where God has focused his redeeming love. It was for fallen humanity that God sent his Son to set things right between himself, us, and all creation. The fate of all human history reached its climax when one Jesus of Nazareth died in that insignificant little patch of land called Israel. But the enormity of God's love doesn't stop with Jesus' death and resurrection. He sent apostles and missionaries through the world to get the word of life out. He saw to it that faithful parents, grandparents, or friends spoke that love to generations of people. And today, he calls us here at Redeemer in Charleston, West Virginia, to get the word of life out, to share our faith in and the love of Jesus at every opportunity. You're in our thoughts. How about, "I'm also praying that God will help you to see the enormous scope of his love for you, that he is not limited in the way that he can help you." Paul asks God that the Ephesians understand the enormity of God's love in all of its fullness, yes. But even more, he asks that they will experience that love for themselves in Christ so that they have more than just knowledge of it. What such a prayer envisions for those for whom you pray is like the difference between hearing about a great teacher's techniques and watching that teacher use them in the classroom. Christianity is not just a matter of knowing that God is love, for even the demons know that, much to their dismay. But it is also the experience of it, as Paul prays for his hearers, that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How and when does that experience take place? You know, today folks either stay at home sitting on their porch or they'll jump from one church to another trying to find that experience they're looking for. But the experience of God's love is not defined by a church's size or its architectural style. It is found where Jesus speaks to us in the scriptures each week as we meet together. We experience that love as we hear him speak forgiveness through the absolution, For Jesus said to the apostles, "The one who hears you hears me." We experience that love as we receive him in the sacrament as a pledge that he has given himself completely for us. You will be in our thoughts. How about I'm also praying that you will experience God's love as he gives it to you in worship and as the members of our church care for you. Now, with his bold requests, does Paul exceed the limits of prayer? Does he ask too much of God? Is it okay for you and me to pray this way? Ought we be cautious not to expect too much? Not at all. Paul ends with words that give us confidence to pray as he did. Verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Let your desire, beloved, for the people of this congregation and for the people God will bring into this congregation be that of St. Paul, that those for whom you pray would be filled with the fullness of God as Christ dwells in their hearts by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, as he enables them to grasp just how great is his love for them in Christ Jesus, and as you and they experience that love in God's family. Amen. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Let us pray. Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer, give us patience and courage never to lose hope, always to bring our prayers before you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for giving us a brief moment of your day. Our prayer and hope is that the message of the good news of Jesus Christ will have a positive impact for you as we at Redeemer Lutheran Church endeavor to be help, hope, and home in the body of Christ for all whom we meet. We invite you to come and receive the Lord's blessing through word and sacrament as we gather on Sunday mornings at 10:45 for our worship service. We're located at 1 Deerwalk Lane, just off the Paula Road exit on Corridor G. You can find us on the web at RedeemerWV.org and on Facebook at Redeemer Lutheran Church WV. Thank you, and may God bless your day.